Thank you. In terms of the governance engagement structures, these are the structures between the department and its public entities. There's the CEO forum, which has been held in the past financial year twice. The first was on the 30th of November 2022, and the last one was held on the 30th of March 2023. The Chairperson's Forum, there is a planned Chairperson's Forum that is going to happen. Since the last one where also shareholder combat was signed was last held in March 2022. But I think members would be aware that because of the changes, a new date had to be sought. And there is a plan in May to have the Chairperson's Forum, where Minister will be meeting with the Chairpersons and also signing the shareholder combat agreements. Thank you. Next slide. This is the composition of the executive management. The acting CEO is one of the board members and is in an acting capacity. There's two other members of the executive, who's the chief financial officer and the director of operations. This is how the management structure of Boxing SA is currently. In terms of the composition of staff, it's not a big organization, 13 in total with 6 females and 7 males. And the other one is the breakdown in terms of racial representation. As we can see that it's 12 black and 1 colored employee. Thank you. In terms of issues to note, I think that committee will note that there is a protracted litigation by the erstwhile CEO. The Boxing SA is currently engaged in a court with this matter, and there are negotiations that are ongoing in terms of trying to resolve this matter with the litigant, taking a route of an out-of-court settlement. But I think the Chairperson will further explain or elaborate on this matter when it's their time to make a presentation. Those are the issues, Chairperson, in terms of the overview from the department. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Wu. Can we give it now to the Boxing South Africa to take us through? We did get your presentation. It was in time. We've read it. And now it's not in a long presentation. You can take us through.
Thank you, Chair. I will just do a brief overview, and then I will ask the acting CEO to then do the presentation. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. Once more, we welcome this opportunity to present to the Portfolio Committee. It's been a journey, I think, as Mr. Panyana was saying, that we're working towards the end of our term of office, so, you know, as this board. And as the Portfolio Committee is aware, we set ourselves the ambitious task of placing the sport of boxing in the country on a renewal, growth, and transformation trajectory. And our approach was we've got to understand the nature of the sport, the nature of the challenge that is facing the sport of boxing, you know, in the country. And the Chair, Honorable Chair and members, you will recall that we had to then traverse the length and breadth of the country seeking to understand exactly what it is that is a challenge. And that then backed this agenda, which we call renewal, growth, and the transformation of the sport, which has got a national support, you know, throughout the country, from the sporting fraternity, as well as support from provinces in terms of provincial government, as well as support, you know, from the National Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, you know, itself. And we've done, I think, a fair job in also placing this agenda into the national and national media. So everybody knows exactly what is it that we are about. So, for instance, the renewal pillar is just about restoring the basics, the fundamentals, you know, for the running of a professional sport, you know, in the country. Just ensuring that, for instance, the processes of licensing. Our licenses are foolproof. We've got automated systems, you know, for doing that. Ensure that what the Act enjoins us to do, we basically do where resources permit. For instance, having as per the last presentation, having a solid relationship, for instance, with the South African National Amateur Boxing Organization, which is something that we have done, as previously reported, and that relationship is working. This year, throughout the country, we had sparring tournaments, sparring sessions or graduation sessions for amateurs, you know, into professional ranks. And we've done that jointly, you know, with SANABO. And in some tournaments, we also allow them to have one or two bouts, to have one or two amateur bouts, you know, as a way of also showcasing talent, you know, at the level of amateur, particularly given the fact that television, you know, is also back, you know, on there's no drought, you know, in terms of televising. Boxing, which is one thing that we had set ourselves to basically do, Chairperson, as well as just dealing with issues, basic issues of training and development, training our licenses so that they understand our regulations, they understand the Act, they also understand issues of anti-doping. We're also working with the states in this regard. We are running provincial conventions, so we also invite states to do presentations, you know, in some of these sessions as part of creating awareness and many others, Chair, including as part of this pillar of renewal, rekindling the national title. Because, yes, of course, we want world champions and so on, but charity begins at home. We are the owners of the national title. So we've now succeeded, in our view, to placing the national title, to restoring its profile, its dignity, so that every boxer is proud to be a national champion. So now our office is basically working around profiling national champions so that we really go back to the olden days wherein ordinary South Africans, ordinary young people basically know and are proud, you know, of the national champions. And we also want these national champions to be national ambassadors, to take up various causes, you know, to be an epitome, you know, of what we call champions for life, you know, not just champions because they are champions, but champions for life or champions of life. That's what we mean about them playing the role of being ambassadors. So that's basically the pillar around renewal, which is about ensuring that those things that we're supposed to do are basically done. And then the growth pillar, the chairperson, is basically about raising the profile of the sport, enhance participation. At the core of this is a national television. As I've said, we've signed a memorandum of understanding now with SABC. So we've agreed on the number of tournaments they are going to broadcast this year, next year, as well as the year after. We welcome the fact that a new board has now been appointed by the Honourable President. We're looking forward to engaging the new board of SABC so that we can then firm up, you know, the agreements that we've had, you know, with the previous board of SABC. We're very much far advanced in engaging SuperSport to also play a significant role, you know, in the broadcasting of the tournament. So very soon we'll be making announcements about a partnership between ourselves and SuperSport. And part of the training and development work that we are currently doing is to also just ensure that our promoters, they present quality tournaments, tournaments that will be inviting to spectators that are going to popularize the sport of boxing and thus attracting funders, business people back, you know, into the sport, which is something that we have not been successful at a national level in garnering a private sector funding, you know, into the sport, even though at the level of promotions, various promoters have got partnerships, you know, with various bodies, particularly, you know, in the hospitality industry. And this is something that we really support at Chairperson. And then the last pillar, which is transformation. Here, Chair, we are trying to articulate with the vision of the department of building a winning nation and placing sport, arts and culture at the center, you know, of social cohesion. So we've coined a concept of sport for development, meaning that sport must make a qualitative role in improving the quality of life, you know, of people who are involved, you know, in the sport of boxing. So one program that we're focusing on in this regard is women in boxing, and we are glad that the deputy minister is the champion. She's our champion, you know, for this. That of ensuring that we enhance the participation of women, you know, in the sport of boxing, and part of the measures that we have taken with the support of all provinces is to ensure that every government-funded tournament has got at least two women, must have at least two women women bouts. And we've also agreed that on an annual basis we'll have a development program that focuses on women. We ourselves as Boxing South Africa, on an annual basis, we host a tournament that is an all-women tournament in terms of bouts, in terms of referees, judges, everybody who is involved in that tournament actually then becomes a woman. And in the previous financial year, we had just about three tournaments, you know, that were hosted by women. We're also working with various potential funders, you know, to support this this program. And again, along the lines of what the portfolio committee had said to us last year around this idea of sport for development, we've asked our colleagues in management to work on to come up with what we call the contribution of the to start with the contribution of the of boxing, you know, in the economy, in economic development. Because when we come to the department as well as when we come to the portfolio committee, we must be able to showcase what it is that a tournament, a particular tournament, what's their contribution, you know, to the, you can call it to the GVA, GDP, GVA at the level of provinces, GDP at a national level. We think that that's really very, very important because this sport is commercialized. So we've got to then demonstrate the extent to which the sport of boxing contributes to economic development. So once that study is completed, we think that we'll then be able to share its outcomes, you know, with the portfolio committee as well. And we think that it will go a long way in terms of also inviting other players, you know, into the sport. But we also just want to have a say on control in terms of the value chain, economic value chain, you know, of the sport of boxing. Understand, for instance, people who benefit, like, for instance, out of the creation of gloves. We want to know who makes gloves for boxing, and what is their contribution, you know, to the growth of the sport. Who's making, for instance, the belts? Who's making boxing boots? So that's what we mean about understanding the economics, or if you like, the political economy, you know, of the sport of boxing. And then the last one, Chair, is a boxing heritage, and again, this articulates well with the arts and culture aspect, you know, of the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. So to this end, we're working with the National Heritage Council to basically retrieve the archives of boxing. I mean, I watched with keen interest the induction of Huma Seghela, you know, in America, for instance. So we would want to create a boxing hall of fame. We can do this in partnership with various players, as well as document the heritage, you know, of boxing. Boxing has got a rich heritage, you know, in this country. So again, we're working with the department, you know, in this regard, as well as under their overall guidance. As I move towards the end, Chairperson, having said all of these things, some of the work in progress, others its achievements, we think that all of these can be sustainable if we then have got a robust organizational architecture, you know, of boxing in the country, which is a work that our administration is currently pursuing. I think the organogram has been presented, but that organogram is very, I mean, it doesn't talk to this ambition that I've just presented, you know, to the portfolio committee. I mean, one thing that is lacking is just communications. You can't be in sport and be weak and don't have a communicator, because sport is about communications as well as marketing. So we would want to at least have a minimal architecture that talks to the core business, you know, of boxing. And two, we would want to stabilize the administration. We've now appointed the CFO after the first one, after the previous CFO had resigned because he was charged, because we had charged him. And now we're working around the clock to conclude this long matter of this former CEO. We are working on an out-of-court settlement with him, and the engagements are at a very sensitive stage at the moment. But we hope that in the shortest period possible, we'll be able to conclude this matter so that we can then stabilize the organization right at the top and have a permanent CEO for the organization, as well as then work on research and innovation. The sport, as I said, Chairperson, has been highly commercialized now. So we've got to have a robust research and innovation as Boxing South Africa in order for us to fairly compete continentally as well as internationally. And to this end, we are working, amongst others, with the universities. We're consolidating a partnership, for instance, with the University of Zululand, you know, in this regards to just help us with research around issues of injuries on our boxers, the health aspects of our boxers, and so on. Others will have partnerships around aspects of innovations, you know, in the sport, deployment of OIR, you know, in the sport, introducing new technologies around refereeing and all of that. So that's the direction we're basically taking at Chairperson in renewing, growing, and transforming, the sport of the sport of boxing. So thank you so much, Chair, and thanks to the Minister as well as the Department for all the support they are providing with us. We've met briefly. We have a meeting with him as they present what we're doing. Necessary leadership, necessary leadership, in terms of forward. Leadership, in terms of forward. Now I'll just forward. Now I'll just aspect that I've not touched in the presentation, and I would ask you, CEO, not to repeat what I stated, but they've been able to engage it. So if you can just touch those few aspects. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. Members.
Thank you so much, the CEO.
Honorable Minister, the leadership of
show your face. Want to see you. Thank you, Honorable
Minister. That provided many work opportunities.
Awubalekile umhlonishwa nje. Muzwa tu.
Honorable Chair, can you hear me?
I don't hear the chair and I don't hear Member Veronica either, so maybe the acting must come in again. Thanks.
Madam Chair, we seem to have lost the chairperson as well. Mr. Zondi, can you continue in the meantime?
Mr. Zondi, can you hear me?
Yes, you are audible, which means you can continue, Honorable Maloman.
Okay, thank you. Greetings to everyone. Let me just quickly shoot to my questions. But already I've wrote two questions on the issue of the MOU. Is there any MOU between Boxing South Africa and SANNAVO been signed? If so, what are the implementation? Are there any issues regarding maybe the MOU? The other matter is the issue of what is the state of safeguarding in the sport of boxing? Has there been any incidents of sexual abuse? If so, is there any report such of incidents within the past 5 years? The other matter that I want to check is the issue of to say how many practitioners did they train and how many licenses did they issue? That's my question. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, are you back with Honorable Van Veek?
Not yet, Mr. Zonde.
No. Honorable Mamabolo, thank you, Honorable Malumane. Honorable Mamabolo?
I'm still speaking.
we are not audible, Chair.
No, we don't hear you, Chairperson, unfortunately.
Even now.
Yeah, we hear you now but before that.
Yes,
now.
When Honorable Van Dijk was cut off, even myself immediately I was out, and now I've heard Honorable Malumane. I'm still audible.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Members. I wish that really, as this committee also, we must get the physical meetings. Where we've been trying to get physical meetings. This is not nice about the load shedding, but you know, Honorable Zondi, I've seen that we are staying where I'm staying, but you don't have a trouble of network. I'm sorry about this. When I was listening, one thing that I wanted to talk about is this problem of litigation. I do hear what you are saying. You are about to leave the office December. You did take over on this court problem. And I'm suspecting that you are paying, but I cannot say anything further if you are saying now you are trying to get out of circle of court. I'm suspecting even our department cannot afford that when they are giving monies, their locations to your good selves, and now you are paying even your lawyers for a duration of this time. But we all know that the court issues, they are not an event, but we are encouraging even the department to sit down with you and give this thorough report. But also, I was very impressed about the presentation from to you.
Madam Chair, we can't hear you now.
And the presentation from the CEO. You know what? I would love to check, and also, if you're having a problem, even our department must be involved. You have the former boxers. I can mention one, and there are many. There are many, but I'm not biased because I'm from Eastern Cape. There's a former boxer, Mkolisi Mpama, and I'm suspecting that on what you are presenting to us, with all what you are proposing that you are doing. Your boxing archives and all what you presented, is there any harm if you can check and on those former boxing whilst we were still young, growing, were aware, oh, baby Matlala and whoever, that maybe we are going in the next presentation, we're going to have Usaid, which is dealing with drugs. You know what? This problem, which are within our communities, one is about the school sport, two is about the involvement of kids in our location in the street, that they must do something sport-wise. But even if you can try to assist, I know that you are being funded. Maybe this question can, to our minister, raise that. Can minister get in this proposal that I'm talking about, that some of them, they wanted to train locally. I'm suspecting a matcha box SARS, and we know that USANABO maybe doesn't have enough funds, likewise you boxing South Africa. But if we can, in each province, try to check what are they doing. For instance, about this one, I know that he is trying. I'm not yet talking about the ones who also was on Rita and here in Western Cape. There are so many, and national-wise, if some of them they want to assist in the Sanabo area, that they must be assisted. I'm raising that this is a very, very good presentation, but we must feel it when we are down nationally doing our oversight, seeing those boxers. But we do appreciate these women in boxing development. I do understand one other time we took an oversight to one province where we discovered that the women were not even having anything, equipment and gloves. And then we had, as a collective of committee, to ask to some entities. And then one member had to go and deliver on behalf of the committee on those kits that we did get. Also, the one other thing that I wanted to talk about, this thing is taking me off moving from one point to another point, but I'm happy that you are doing that, and hoping that come December you will be fulfilling what you want to do. Your presentation is giving us the hope that come December, and maybe you will be achieving all these structures that you want to put in place. For instance, this federation of association, I'm suspecting what I was started with, it belongs to this, that if we can check in all provinces, national, what can we do about these boxers? No, it's a good point that you want those who are still doing the work, the boxing, that they must have their own medical aids. But there are those who are no longer boxers, are former boxers. This training also, as the committee members being were doing oversight and were coming from different provinces, if we can get this information, some maybe they are sitting in their corners, they don't know about these good programs that we are having. So I'm pleading that as a committee, we need to get all your trainings, and in order that we must assist when we are in all these provinces, because the oversight, we are doing the oversight nationally. Thank you so much. I'm sorry to do this off, on and off. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Mrs. Fandek is back on the platform, so she can continue with her questions. And we also have hands from Mr. Mamabulo, Mr. Zondi, and Mr. Mhlongo in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry, I'm not sure what happened there. I just want to come back to the World Boxing Federation, and it was mentioned that there's financial challenges. So I just want to ask whether conventions such as this, if it does offer opportunities to get future financial support and equipment for local boxing, because I remember or recall that in 2017, the World Boxing Federation and a German automobile manufacturer, Porsche, donated equipment to 46 Western Cape boxing gyms in Khayelitsha. That was just a question still on that topic. Then I want to ask whether, since boxing, South Africa has increased its expenditure in boxing promotion programs, why is the sport still not gaining sponsors and visibility? Has the promotion strategy worked? And the reason I ask is I also want to find out whether the MOU that was signed between, was it signed indeed, between Boxing South Africa and SABC, and if it was, how, if you can just explain how Boxing South Africa benefited from this. I want to further, Chair, I'm not sure if you maybe asked whether, I heard just that you spoke about women in boxing, and I just want to find out how much the department has been investing in women boxing in the 2023-24 financial year. I also want to ask about the status of safeguarding in the sport of boxing, if there has been any incidences of sexual abuse of or athletes reported, and if so, what have Boxing South Africa done in that matter? Also, can you just give us an indication whether you have your safeguarding documents, of if that has been in, if that was is in place? Chair, that will be all for now.
Thank you so much, Honourable Van Dijk. You were picked out by load shedding, Honourable Mamabolo.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Chairperson.
Always having
Hello?
Yes, Honorable Mamabolo.
Okay, it's fine. Right. Chairperson, firstly, I would like to know about their provinces, because I can see that the only province which is very active is Eastern Cape, and followed by others. And Eastern Cape is led by Ayanda Madrid, if I'm not mistaken. Because I know Ayanda and Minister Kodwa grew up together in the Congress movement. So in the Congress movement, we only produce the best, Honorable Chairperson. My first question will be around the steroids. I know that most parents are not allowing their children to be tested. And then how are you going to prepare for 2024 Olympics? If these parents are not allowing their children to be tested and so on, because we know already when you go for the Olympics, everybody would want to qualify to the Olympics, and they can use anything or everything in order for them to qualify. They can use drugs, they can use anything, steroids and everything, so that they make sure they go to Olympics and participate there. And also the statistics on the and what you call on drug cheating, are they on the increase or decline? Because I did not see it there. I don't know if I have missed it there. And then the issue of schools also in rural areas and townships. Are you promoting boxing there? Because to be honest, not boxing, I only see it on Fridays on SABC2 immediately after this this old dramas, Hard and so on. Boxing plays around 10, I think, and it's not even live. I heard you speaking about Super Sport. Are you trying to bring Super Sport on board? Because it's only SABC now who are broadcasting you. Are you trying to get Super Sport on board and other sponsors besides the department? I don't see your sponsors. I'm not sure if you have sponsors. I don't see some of them. And then we appreciate the indication that the deputy minister has been assisting you. But just to assure that also we have a new minister who's very, very active in the name of Good Enough Zizi God. I think he will work well with you and also with the deputy minister. I know both of them have got energy as if they're at my age. The last one will be around the issue of the CEO. You said you are trying to
reach the matter, to settle the matter out of court. Did I hear you properly? And then what was the issue regarding suspension? I was not listening there. Then I was having some breaks in between. Yeah, that'll be that for now, Chairperson. I may come back later. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next one, Honorable Mshongo. Honorable Mshongo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I apologize. I just joined. Maybe I'll repeat some of the question, but I want to welcome the presentation. And the first question is, I think I want to dwell on the CEO issue, the litigation part. And we know that the acting CEO is doing well, and I've seen his work. I've visited one of the events which he invited me. But I wanted to find out the litigation part. How much are we using? And if we're using so much, and I've heard there's out-of-court settlement, do we have an ETA of the out-of-court settlement? And the question, another question is, I'm concerned, Boxing South Africa is male-dominated, the composition of it. What are they doing about it? There's not diversity. What are they doing about it? And when are they going to address that issue of diversity? And regarding the permanent CEO, we've been having an acting CEO, which was appointed by the board, and which we usually don't promote that as a committee. I know there's a litigation issue, they cannot, but what is happening? What is the status quo? Because the board member is acting as an acting CEO. Now, any time frame or they're waiting for the litigation issue, and then they'll appoint the acting, the permanent CEO. The questions of the percentage, where I see that talking of council, attendance of 90%, can they give us figures? What is 90% of that on council attendance? And the issues of SAIS working with Boxing South Africa, do they have any hindrance and any relationship that is hampering promotion of women sports, especially drugs related to boxing and promoting women in sports? Thank you very much for now, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. Honorable Zondi.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to members in the platform. Chair, we welcome the presentation. Few issues, Chair. The first one is on the three unqualified report with findings. The unqualified report, Chair, is good, but if there are findings that are the same for the three conservative years, the chairperson highlighted them: irregular expenditure and consequent management. Those are the two that I highlighted. Ithike lento, Chair, kusho ukuthi kunomuntu noma kunabantu abenza into wrong abangakhuzwa if they are irregular expenditure and consequence management is not being taken care of. That is the concern that I would like to raise first. The second one, Chair, is Honorable Mhlongo just dealt with it. The male-dominated industry or sports, the board cannot appoint a female because they were appointed themselves. But I would like to know in their programs, how far have they with their programs in introducing women in the management or leadership? Because what they can do, they can make the industry environment conducive for women leadership, not employees, because they are covered. But in terms of leadership and management, they can make the industry conducive for them So in their program, they can introduce women to a management and leadership. That is where I can say they are doing progress. How far with that, Chair, if they have not started it? If they have started it, if they have not, I pursue them to do that. So that not all the time we raise the thing, the board is male dominated. Yes, it's male dominated, we know, but they are not appointing themselves. For them is to make the easiest conducive for women moving forward. That one, Chair, is with the issue of women development. I've seen that in the next financial year, they will be dealing with that. And we appreciate that because that was our concern and last year. I think it is covered, and we want to commend them on that. And on the issue of the CEO, yes, other members covered that, Chair. We support the out of court settlement, Chair, because it will bring stability in the organization. And we want a CEO that is permanent, so that he will deal with these findings for the last 3 years that are not being dealt with. So if we have permanent CEO, we'll have the stability. And if we have the stability, we will deal with the challenges that have been raised by members, in particular the one that I started with. And still on the matter, Chair, the costs, I don't know what is better between leaving the matter until in its finality through the court, or the matter being settled outside the court in terms of the court. But I prefer the settlement outside, because as normally as they've done, because normally the court issues normally take time to be settled, and for that we can't have another year without the CEO. But the costs that are incurred on the matter, it is a concern. The last one, Chair, I want to direct to the Honourable Minister. I've seen Honourable Minister at Caesar's Palace recently, one of the fights, I don't remember whether it was a local fight. No, it was not a local fight. It was an international fight, because yes, it was an international fight. Honourable Minister, what are the plans in place to host more international fights? Just kathele manje ukubuka ama local boxers. We want just kathele ukubuka TV. We want international fights zangempela where promoters will lay international fights like WBA, WBC, like we used to have during Baby Jack Machala and Tingan Tobel. We used to have those fights that attacked more people across the world, and focus in South Africa where there are those fights. How far are we to have those fights? Are we ready for them? And what are the hassles? Because Boxing South Africa is recently, I think last year, we're complaining about the TV coverage. Now they are. There is a progress, but international fights, we have not seen them or heard about them, that they are planning them in the meantime. I just want that to you, Honorable Minister, through you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Sonde. Zoleka.
Madam Chair, the last one is Ms. Adams.
Honorable Adams. Honorable Adams. Honorable Adams.
Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes.
Yes, I greet all on the platform. I will go straight to my questions. You say the Kassan State Board was appointed in 2017, of which the term has ended. Has the term of the current board been extended? If so, for how long? How far is the process of the appointment of the new State Board? The second question. Currently, what is the state of graft cheating in South Africa's sport? Is it on an increase or decline? And my question to Boxing South Africa, as members to be briefed by Boxing South Africa on whether of the memorandum of understanding with the NABO was signed. As stipulated in the 21-22.
Honorable members, Honorable Adams.
Inside, what is of the implementation?
We don't say you are not.
Can you hear?
No, you are coming very bad.
Madam Chair, yes. I'll try and get the questions from Ms. Adams and write them on the chat.
What?
Okay. No, okay, never mind. We'll get your questions, send it to the Zoleka, because you are not clear the problem. Maybe it's network, as you have said that also you are driving. Can we pass now, honorable members? Can now I give the chance to the presenters that they must give us some answers, proposals, and we'll take it from there. Can I start with you? Huh? So let. Oh.
So, sorry, Chair, that was me. I thought you were giving us an opportunity.
Yes. Yes. Do so, DG. You must give your team, and then the minister must be the last to say something. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the members for the questions and also the comments in some cases. The specific questions that were addressed to the department are picked up specifically from Honorable Dennis, Honorable Zondi, and the Honorable Adams. We could hear that last question, the first question from her that was specific to the term of the current board chair. I would allow the director, Tanyana, to come first, and then DDG Khan would add if there's anything else she would like to add. I think there weren't that many questions specifically for the department chair, and we'll deal with them like that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. To some, Tanyana.
Thank you, ADG. In terms of the question for the department, Honorable Joseph asked about the allocation in terms of infrastructure. This is just to highlight and indicate that there's no infrastructure funding that is allocated to Boxing SA in relation to their operations.
because they are actually leasing the current building where they are. Normally that is allocated for entities where they need to take care of maintenance matters, but excuse me, in the case where it's a lease, that is normally covered in the lease agreement with the landlord. In terms of the audit findings, excuse me, Honourable Chair, in terms of the audit findings, unfortunately, in terms of the auditor's report for the three financial year, there is one issue of irregular expenditure, which was a repeat finding, in a sense that one item that has been raised in the 3 years was the issue of goods, which amounting below 500,000 having been sourced without obtaining quotations as required by the Treasury regulations. That unfortunately has been a repeat finding. I think in the year 2019-20, that irregular expenditure amounted to 1,100,000, and then 2020-21, it sort of like increased to 5 million, but then 2021-22 went down to 1.5 million. The issue also of consequence management, as mentioned, was mentioned by the AG, in a sense that AG said they could not find any evidence that consequence management was actually applied for officials responsible for the irregular expenditure. In terms of, there was a question on what does the department do in terms of assisting the entity in terms of dealing with this. As mentioned before, there is audit improvement plan that is submitted on a quarterly basis to actually look and assist in terms of how far the entity is, and also give some recommendations where required. I think the issue of supply chain, which has been a challenge at Boxing SA, Boxing SA is dealing with that, in a sense that the supply chain unit is being capacitated. They have employed staff to work in that area, so that area is improved in the next financial year. I think they can confirm whether we will have these, although we might anticipate, but with the work that has happened, there may be an indication that these can be addressed and be avoided in the next audit that is coming. The other question that was asked was in relation of meetings attended. The percentage of attendance there relates to the entity. I would also ask that they confirm, because now it talks about the attendance of members, but as we read in line with the report, in the annual report, you look at the number as the board members are 7, and if we talk 90%, it's an averaging, not to say that one member is not attending, because it does happen that in another meeting you find there's an apology and in another there is an apology, but the consistency there is that at any given moment you would not have less than 6 members attending the meeting. So so that is actually averaging, but in terms of the whole statistics for the year, that can then be extracted and maybe submitted to the committee for the member to actually have a clearer picture on that kind of an attendance. Chair, I think Honorable Adams was asking questions about states, one that I heard, which is about the board, which I think it will be addressed later. The issue of council with males, that's the last one.
As the council is coming to an end this year, that matter will be rectified. I think members will remember that there was one female in the board who then resigned, but due to the list of people that we interviewed, it became difficult to replace with another female. But that matter, as the new board will be constituted, that matter will be properly addressed, and I know that there is a commitment as well, not speaking on behalf of the Honourable Minister, but I know that that also we have reported that a minister is going to address that one. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
The next person.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, Minister, EDG and colleagues. Chairperson, there's just three things that I want to respond to. Firstly, the issue of women in boxing. Yes, the department has ring-fenced funding in the conditional grant. So in each province, there is funding of 350,000 rands, and that's specifically for the inclusion of two women's bouts, a minimum of two women's bouts, in any tournament that is being staged in the province. Then with regard to the issue of school sport that was raised, Madam Chair, school sport is not a priority code. Boxing is not a priority code in schools simply because of the legislation in the Department of Education preventing any combat sport from taking place in schools. But we have, through the pilot project that we have, the Sports Ambassadors Program, we've now introduced some sort of amateur boxing at a school level, but it is just a pilot. And just to indicate, Madam Chair, coupled with the comment that the chairperson had made about, you know, boxers who have retired. Now, there are quite a few boxers who actually run their own programs. But as part of the Sports Ambassadors Pilot Program, we have included six boxers who have a very good track record, and they're also doing a lot of work in the communities. So they have now been involved in the school sport pilot program for ambassadors in Mpumalanga, in Gauteng, and in Limpopo. And they are Thulani Malinga, Buyani Bungu, Urban Bushlalu, Philip Ndu, Cassius Bolo, and Nika Kumalo. And they have also been involved in other projects of the department, like the youth camps, the school sport championships, and to an extent in some of the rural development.
You think you can?
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. We've done now.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Acting DG, do we have anyone to continue?
Not on our side. There was a matter that was specifically addressed to Minister, okay. we would leave that part to Minister. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much to all who have just responded. Honourable the Minister. Honourable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the question.
Nice. Loi, Msongo. Loi. When we attended the cricket.
Yes, just arrived.
No, he has been here, but now he's getting loi, like myself. When we were in the stadium, when the girls were not doing well, were saying that loi. Now, Minister, he has been with us and talking to us. Now we want him to talk. This loi doesn't want him to talk.
Honourable Minister. President.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and thanks once more for the opportunity. I think the question which was asked, just to add firstly on the last point by DPG Khan, it's quite exciting, Chairperson and committee members, to see how boxing as a sport is one of the popular sporting codes among our people, particularly, I mean, speaking up in areas such as the Free State in KZN, of course, the home of boxing and the mecca of boxing in South Africa being the Eastern Cape and areas around East London and Mtanzani. It's quite exciting to work with some of the former boxers, like the DDG Cancers, in our pilot program on of sports ambassadors like Ziani Bu. It's quite exciting. But also, I mean, what we have not yet, I think hopefully when we meet with BSA, we'll be able to raise up some of these issues. The boxing economy, that has to do with a number of things, issues around commercial partners. Of course, we do need to help boxing, BSA, to get more sponsors, to get more commercial partners. I mean, if you look at the areas around the mecca of boxing, which is your East London and Tanzania areas, it's not showing. And I think there may be good ideas how best to show that this is a mecca of boxing. And I think some of the ideas we have, certainly I have, we'll share that with BSA. I mean, you could talk about, for example, the boxing academy as one example. It shouldn't be difficult to have a boxing academy in and around areas of East London, which is a mecca of boxing. But the direct question which was asked is about hosting of this international tournament, WBA and WBC. It is promoters that brings these international tournaments. And of course, we're working with PSA. We have in the past hosted a number of international tournaments. The recent one, I think there was one member who said he saw me at one of it was in East London rather. Not what the member said. It was in East London Orient Theatre, which was one of the last international tournament I attended. Quite exciting. And I think it is such tournaments that we got to promote, because hosting and bidding, it does not just bring about revenue, but also it's about sports tourism. It's about the taking South Africa abroad. In the tournament I attended, certainly in East London recently, there's a lot of people coming from all over to attend that international tournament. So it is promoters who stage both national and international tournaments. The recent one, just on boxing, women in boxing, the one which was held last weekend in Kabeja, organized by promoter, the Don Queen, Umzanzi. And I think these are kind of things that, of course, as a department, one way or another, we do support, because I think boxing is beginning to pick up, and I think it needs all our support. That's all I can say, Chairperson, in relation to the question which was asked, and I would request to be allowed to leave as per my earlier apology, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members. Those who were cut off or those who are not joining us, the minister is attending this 100 years, which is happening here in Cape Town. If we were having a chance to go there, but the ministers, they do take all the invites, and then good luck, minister, and we are with you whilst you're still on work. We are releasing you. Thank you so
much. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, on that note, thank you to the Boxing South Africa. We are seeing that you are doing a good work. And we are aware that when you became this sport, you had so many challenges that you face when you did get in the office, but we do see that we are trying your best, and I'm suspecting all other issues that members raised, which are not yet done by your good self, you will take the advice from the committee, hoping that before December, if the schedule of our program allowed us, we can love, but you must come back because of so many things that are outstanding, your court issues and everything that the members have raised. In that note, Boxing South Africa, now is the time for you to be released. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Yes.
You did not give Boxing South Africa a chance to respond to questions, Madam Chair.
Hello.
I see Mr. Madungo's hand is also up.
Oh, no, maybe you wanted to raise that because it was only not the department only to respond. Thank you so much. Can I give it to the Boxing South Africa? I'm suspecting forward to Madlingozi, you wanted to caution me. Thank you so much. Boxing South Africa?
Thank you so much, Chair. I would request the acting CEO to deal with administrative related questions like issues of audit as well as issues of subsidization of insurance and the cost of the roadshows. So I would request him to deal with those questions. And then Mr. Sodo, who is the chair of the function committee, will deal with the questions that were asked by Honorable Madlingozi. And then Dr. Ntangeni, who is the chair of the Women in Boxing committee, will deal with all women in boxing related questions. And then I'll deal with the rest, Chairperson. Thank you so much. Colleagues, if you can deal with issues in that order. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. It's the acting CEO. Chair, I think on the issue of audit, there was consequence management. As far as we know, as a result, we appointed the new CEO, the CFO. The CFO that was somehow implicated in relation to issues of irregular expenditure and other matters eventually resigned. So that matter has been attended to, and we are still attending those issues that are outstanding. But there is progress when it comes to consequence management. I think another question that was raised is the issue of internal audit department within BSA. We do have internal audit department, but as I mentioned earlier, we are currently working on the new structure that will be presented to the board and also to the national department. Because we just have a challenge. You've got one person in that internal audit department. You've got one person who is dealing with HR issues. You had previously one person dealing with issues of finance, who is currently now the CFO. We're about to appoint the manager of finance. At least there will be assistance then. So these will be attended to in our new structure, and hoping we'll be able to get resources that we can fill the other critical post that will be vacant as a result of the approval of the new structure. On the issue of funeral covers, we said we met with our boxers, I think last year, where we were proposing these particular programs. But now the issue will be a funeral cover must be paid for 12 months. And we know that our boxers usually, a boxer would have four fights a year or three fights a year and what happens in between. So we are proposing that this premium, for instance, a funeral cover premium must be paid annually upfront. When you take your license, you must pay that upfront premium. And the boxer requested that it's possible, but also if there can be where, for instance, you're talking about medical aid, where maybe PSA and other departments, especially the sports, Department of Sport or other stakeholders can subsidize our boxers, because we know how much sometimes they earn from those bouts that they are contracted to. We are still developing. There are some boxers. I think we have boxers who are earning very high amounts of fees in boxing, but there are also those that are developing. So it's dynamic, but we are trying by all means to protect them from exploitation by managers. I think as the question said earlier. So the time frame to the question about the new structure is June 2023. We must have the new structure being approved by the board before end of June 2023. When it comes to the training of officials, that's what we are currently doing, Jefferson. We started in Gauteng. We trained officials from Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Northern Cape, and Free State. That was the end of March. And the first week of May, April, we went to KZN. The last week we're in Western Cape, and this week we are in Eastern Cape. So we will provide statistics once the trainings have been concluded. On the issue of MOU between SANABO and BSA, I think that was also attended to last year, because it was signed by February last year. So some of the issues that had, the fundamental principles is seeing BSA and SANABO working together when we're having tournaments. And that has evidently seen in the tournament that we had on March in Eastern Cape, where there were some bouts from the amateur professional boxing, open boxing in a professional boxing tournament. And also in terms of when we do sparring sessions, we are now affirming our position to say, when you want to be a boxer, you want to graduate into professional boxing, you must have a green book from SANABO. So you must work with SANABO. And when it's time for you to graduate, you want to enter into professional boxing, produce that green book from SANABO. So those are the fundamental principles that are in the MOU, which are currently being implemented. The technicalities around the SABC and the BSA partnership, we have a broadcasting fees there in the MOU. For instance, the minimum is 500,000, and that's what we agreed on with SABC. And we also have fundamental principles in the MOU where we are saying both BSA and SAPC must source out sponsors. If we want this MOU to be successful, we must be able to source out sponsors. And in terms of benefit, we are benefiting, because if you're going to have 12 tournaments per year as BSA, then you know the sanctioning fees are guaranteed. They will be coming from SAPC to BSA. So it's another revenue generation mechanism in other ways. So we'll be able to generate revenue through that MOU. I think, Chair, I've covered what needs to be covered in relation to administration. Thanks. On the issue of roadshows, I think the CFO has just, it was between 200,000 to 30,000, the cost of the roadshows, started from 2021 June, and the roadshows ended on March 12th, 2022. So the cost was around 200,000. Thank you so much.
Acting CEO, Toyucha, can you just clarify the issue of targeting 5 years versus 1 year quarterly, which was asked by Honorable Dennis?
Yes, Chair. I think that, Chair, is in the APP. So if members can just the PDF document, the signed APP, the targets are broken down per year and one in that APP. Thanks, Chair.
Can I come in, Chair?
Yes, over to you, Mr. Okay. Sotra. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Minister in absentia, Honorable Deputy Minister, DG, DDG, and Senior Management of the Department, as well as all persons in the meeting. I will take three questions. I'll take the couple of questions raised by Honorable Madlengozi and take the question raised originally by Honorable Malomane and raised by a number of honorable members of parliament, which relates to the MOU and BSA Sanabo in enhancing the response from the acting CE. Then my last issue to raise will be the to respond to is the matter of involving future former stalwarts, people like Nkosi Simbama, as was raised by the Honorable Chair of the Portfolio Committee. The Honorable Madlengozi raised a number of questions here. The first question related to matters of discipline, in particular in relation to Mr. Michael Sediane's conduct. I want to indicate, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that the board is ruthless in the application of rules in dealing with ill discipline. As a matter of chair, as a matter of fact, Honorable Chair, we are the only board, if my memory serves me well, that has ever revoked a license from a licensee because of discipline-related matters. So the matter of Michael Sediane, to be specific, is before the DC, and he is going to be dealt with through that process chaired by an independent panel, and he is going to be dealt with in line with the regulations governing the sport of professional boxing in the country. The question of the protection of young boxers, which Honorable Madlengozi raised, is a very important matter. Very important in that, in fact, Honorable Members will recall that if one looks at the governance of boxing, particularly the legislation relating to professional boxing, from time immemorial, during the time of bare-knuckle boxing up to the present-day modern boxing, the issue of the protection of boxers from physical harm in the ring, as well as against exploitation from unscrupulous licensees outside the ring, has been a key element. When we deal with the protection of boxers, we have that context and we take it very, very seriously as the Board of Boxing South Africa. In the issue of transparency that Honorable Madlengozi raised, the issue of purse monies, of the payment of purse monies to boxers is very, very transparent. Remember, professional boxing is highly regulated. Before a boxer is pitted with another boxer in the ring, the starting point is for the boxer to sign a contract. So when a boxer goes into the ring, he already knows how much money he will get for fighting, the number of rounds he will be fighting. And he agrees to the money he must be getting. And in terms of legislation, the boxer has a manager who is the chief representative of Boxers Affairs. So even in determining the value of the boxer, the determining the amount of money that the boxer can fight for, so the manager is chiefly involved. It is the manager that negotiates on behalf of his boxer with the promoter with regard to the amount of money that the boxer must get. In the norm, a manager gets 10% of the boxer's best money. So and there is no other way. And that money is not paid, it, or rather, let me say, that money is paid via Boxing South Africa. It is Boxing South Africa that pays the boxer. And it is the boxer that pays the manager. So the issue of transparency is adhered to, and the boxer, we are doing everything that we can do as Boxing South Africa in order to protect boxers from exploitation. We even protect them against physical harm. That's the purpose of having a sanctioning committee, so that you make sure that boxer A fighting with boxer B are in the same category in terms of experience, in terms of the number of fights fought, in terms of their caliber, so that we reduce the risk of harm that is encountered by the boxers in the field, or rather in the ring. I did not quite get the question on the dirty money. With respect, I will request Honorable Madingozi, when the time allows, for him to repeat that question, maybe for the chair to take. Then the next question, the one relating to the memorandum of understanding, just to enhance what the acting CE has said. There are a number of reasons why we had to enter into a memorandum of understanding with SANABO. One of those was to ensure that we conduct a seamless transition from the open rank boxers, that is the amateur ranks, from the open boxing category into the professional ranks. Also, to ensure that a boxer, to guard against open boxing category boxers turning a professional prematurely. Some of these boxers, SANABO invests a lot of money in with a view of developing them to be future gold medalists in international competitions. It is therefore important that the graduation ceremony is handled in such a way that SANABO is represented, and that memorandum of understanding stipulates this requirement that there is a committee that is inclusive of both BSA as SANABO, so as to guard against any premature graduation of open boxing category into the professional ranks. I must indicate as well, Chair, that relations between Boxing South Africa and SANABO have never been strong. And this helps us in many things. Part of how it helps us is that it helps us in the growth of the foundation phase of the development of boxers. That is, at the level of the open boxing category, we ensure that there's growth, not only growth, but quality boxers from the open boxing category turn into the professional rank, so that a person who does not qualify to turn pro must not turn professional. Then finally, the Honorable Chair of the Portfolio Committee raises a very important issue in the view of Boxing South Africa, the issue of the utilization of people like Mkholi Simpama, Mkholi Sinoenda, basically the people, our past stalwarts. We have started a program, a heritage program, which is aimed at recognizing the value of the former greats in the structures of current boxing, by way of ensuring that these former greats share the knowledge and the skill they have with the current trainers so as to produce quality professional boxers. We have been sometime at Gqeberha, where a number of boxers around the Eastern Cape province, I mean people like Zwandile, the Butterfly Biana, the late Nkosana, the Happy Boy Mgaji, and many of those stalwarts, some have departed to the upper room. Some are still living with us, but as Boxing South Africa, we felt that it is necessary for these former greats to be acknowledged and recognized for the good contribution they have made in boxing and the contribution they can still make in so far as helping the current trainers, the current managers, and the current promoters in running the business of boxing in the way that they did. The intention is to ensure that we bring back the sport of boxing to the golden era of our sport. Those are the few questions that I wanted to take, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be taking the questions in relation to women in boxing. There were two submissions from Honorable Member Adam and Malomani regarding the state of safeguarding and if there's been any accident of sexual abuse that has been reported. I must start by saying, Honorable Chairperson and members, that the question is very relevant and prevalent because we are in an era where we see women licensees numbers increasing exponentially, looking at the fact that in 2020-2021 financial year, we were just sitting at near 75. And then in 2021-2022 financial year, we were sitting at 84 licensees. And in the year 2022-2023, we are sitting at a number of 123. Therefore, it will be very much critical and important for us as a women in boxing committee to ensure that affairs of women boxers are indeed prioritized and taken care of. Therefore, we are at this stage finalizing policy on sexual harassment, which is aligned to the SASCOC safeguarding policy, which SASCOC has urged all federations that they need to be aligned to this policy and get appropriate training. Therefore, we are currently finalizing this. It's currently with legal so that they can give us their inputs before it could go and serve in the board. I should also state that during our term of office, there has not been any case of sexual harassment that has come before our Women's in Boxing Committee. And we ensure that during the Women in Boxing Week, we also infuse the aspect of sexual harassment in the deliberations that we will be doing during those visits that we go to from province to provinces. I'll pause there, Madam Chair. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ntangeni. Madam Chair, let me just quickly deal with the remaining a few questions. Thanks, colleagues, for dealing with the majority of questions. Let me start by saying we note, Madam Chair, your your recommendations in terms of issues that we need to look at. So we've noted everything that you have said. And then coming to Honorable Mamabolo, the questions that you have raised with regards to preparations for the 2024 Olympics, that falls within the province of Sanabo, as articulated as well by Mr. Soto earlier on. The work around Olympics is the responsibility of Sanabo. So we provide whatever support we can towards that work. And the MOU basically helps us to then prosecute that work within that framework. So, and then with regards to statistics on boxers that have been found wanting with regards to issues of drugs, we don't have the statistics as we speak now, but I do know that SAGE is the authority when it comes to this, because they are the body that has been, by legislation passed by our parliament, that has got a right to do tests and then do the related matters. So I hope that perhaps when they present, they may share the statistics. I do know that 3 weeks ago, they did share with us some of this statistics. But I would also request that through the acting CEO, that we officially also submit this information from SAID to the portfolio committee as Boxing South Africa. And then, Chair, coming to the issue of I think the issue of consequence management has been dealt with, and the issue of our term of office. Our term of office has not expired. We were appointed in December 2020 for 3 years, and our term is going to come to an end in December 2023. That is in December of this year. And as articulated by Mr. Zanyane, that's the responsibility of the department in terms of facilitating that process. We shared the concerns of the portfolio committee with regards to our top echelon that is male dominated in terms of the administration. And as a consequence, we have asked management to ensure that the replacement for the finance manager is a female. So we made this point quite clear that we had hoped that the CFO will be a female. Yes, females were shortlisted, but then when it came to performance, you know, in the interviews, unfortunately, then a male candidate performed much better than a female candidate. But on so on, just said they've got to just make sure that for the finance manager, they appoint a female person. Then when it comes to the matter of the litigation, I think as the last question to respond to, there were lots of questions in this regard. I think one, the matter dates back, Honorable Dennis, to 2014. The CEO was suspended. And then in 2015, he took the matter to the CCMA. And then in 2018, the CCMA found in his favor and asked for his reinstatement. And then the board decided to appeal the matter in the labor court. And then the Labour Court took a decision in 2022 to basically dismiss the appeal. And when we took office in 2020, as the new board, we asked for legal opinion when we asked when we were briefed about this case. So we took two legal opinions, one from an independent lawyer and the other one was from the department, departmental lawyers, that is, I think, state attorneys. And both legal opinions advise that we let's pursue the matter within within the framework of the courts. But having now lost twice, we then thought that perhaps as well as looking at issues of reputational damage, issues of costs, and so on, we then thought that let's explore this matter, let's explore a settlement, you know, outside outside court, which is something that we're basically pursuing. And engagements have been going well up till now, and we hope that we'll be able to finalize this as soon as practically possible, so that then we can stabilize the organization and have a permanent CEO. Because if the issue of instability at the level of leadership has got all the hallmarks inefficiency and absence of continuity in terms of vision, coherence, all of that. So we would want to really stabilize the organization as soon as possible so as to also protect, in our view, the good work that has been done over the past 3 years to place the sport of boxing in South Africa on an upward and irreversible trajectory of renewal, growth, and transformation. So, Chair and Honourable Members, we thank you so much, as always, for wise counsel whenever we're presenting ourselves before you. And I'm instructing the acting CEO and team that we need to, because we circulate almost weekly a roster of tournaments that are to take place throughout the country. So I suggest that through you, Chair, we submit the same, you know, via the committee secretariat to the portfolio committee members so that they are exposed to what is happening. Because again, I think the impression that international tournaments are not happening. There is quite a lot of international tournaments that are happening in our shores. But perhaps, which is the point that we are acknowledging, that we are weak when it comes to a communication and marketing, which is why we really want to enhance that. Because in our view, if you are weak in that area, you must then get out of the sporting business if your communications as well as marketing is weak, which is something that we really would want to strengthen going forward. And we'll also extend invitations, Chairperson, to the Boxing Awards, as indicated earlier on, to the Portfolio Committee, as well as to the Boxing Convention, so that you also have got an opportunity as the Portfolio Committee to interface with the stakeholders and get feedback as well. And we think that this strong relationship that is unprecedented between ourselves and SANABO places us, gives us a massive opportunity to be on the ground, because SANABO is all over the provinces, all regions, all local municipalities, and they are, the number of boxers they are dealing with is more than 5,000. So we think that because ordinary people on the ground, they don't know the difference between SANABO and Boxing South Africa. So which is why we think that this partnership in perpetuity between ourselves and SANABO needs to be nurtured, strengthened, and safeguarded.
Chairperson and honorable members, thank you so much. From our side, we really value the time that you have taken to listen to us, as well as the questions and the recommendations that you have put before us. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair, are you still on the platform?
Oh, yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Now, let me take this opportunity, honorable members, our guests, to thank the Boxing South Africa, led by the chairperson. We are happy, chairperson, to hear you in your last words. After all the team answered the questions that need to stabilize, it's your aim to stabilize the boxing South Africa, but also the improving of communication, which is you are testifying that you will do that, as you say that we do have gap in between, and the improvement of e-marketing. So we are happy to hear that, honorable members. I'm releasing this delegation. You did come here.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hear that you are releasing Boxing South Africa, but there was a point that the honourable person, I forgot the name, he didn't understand my question at that time. Can I please repeat it, Chairperson?
Madam Chair, the chairperson seems to be having connectivity issues. Mr. Madlongo, please go ahead whilst I try and conduct it.
Thank you, sir. My question, it is based on your utterances that boxing is highly commercialized these days. So my question was, how do you make sure that you are exempted from money laundering tactics? What that I'm saying is like, I'm talking about the money that could be injected into the legitimate financial systems and concealed, through a series of transactions and bookkeeping tactics. So that my question was, how do you escape that? How do you prevent that as sort of like dirty money? Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Zondi, can you please? Madam Chair? Mr. Zondi, can you please continue to act as the Chairperson is back. All right.
I do have honorable members. Yes. If we can.
Madam Chair, Mr. Madungo, just ask the question
I've heard that. I'm responding on that, saying that in future, when the chairperson have done closing remarks, it's not procedural to open, but in future, if you feel that your question has not been answered, you must raise your hand. Or as we have done now, saying point of order, but we are saying it after I've given closing remarks. But please, chairperson, give somebody to answer the question of Honorable Madlingos. Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks, Honorable Madlingosi. That's an important question, Chairperson. We will note that as a recommendation. Is something that we'll have to work on in terms of, fortunately, we're working on the regulations, in terms of also just strengthening our regulations as well. It's not something that we've got to be honest, it's not something that we've discussed and considered. So, which is why I'm saying we're taking it as a take-home and as a recommendation. It's something that we're going to discuss and act on, Chairperson. Thank you so much. And thanks, Honorable Madlingosi.
Thank you, Honorable Madlingosi. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. In that note, Chairperson, we are releasing you with your entourage.
Thank you, Chairperson, and Honorable Members and Members of the Department. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Honorable Members, we're not bad on time. The presenters of today, they were so thorough, but we couldn't at least miss so much time. Now I'm taking this opportunity to give to the department to do an overview when the state is going to present. After your overview, Department, Acting DG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We will follow the same format. Chairperson, you also wanted, as we go into this presentation, to get indication of the representation from states, which I'm sure would then be addressed when you allow. Yes. Thanks, Chair. Sibusiso Tsanyana would again lead the presentation in terms of this overview.
Thank you, IDG. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Again, it's an overview presentation now in relation to SAIDS. So it would be similar slides with the same headings that we are going to present today as per the presentation outline. Next slide. The next slide deals with the mandate of South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport, which is an entity that was established in terms of the Act of Parliament, which is SAIDS Act 14 of 1997. The mandate is to promote the participation in sport free from the use of prohibited substances or methods intended to artificially enhance performance, thereby rendering impermissible doping practices which are contrary to the principles of fair play and medical ethics. In the interest of health and well-being of sports persons and to provide for matters connected therewith. SAIDS also provide technical obligations for the country to UNESCO, WADA, and the African Union. Next slide. In terms of the non-financial performance, 2019-20, 65% achieved, 2020-21, 52%, and 21-22, 82%. 2020-21, I think we'd all be aware that that was the year which it was a COVID-19 with lockdown and things were not, happening during that period. Hence, you see the drop there in the performance. Thank you. Next slide. In terms of the financial allocations, those are the three financial years, starting with 28 million in 2019-20 financial year, and 2021-22 financial year, 29,171, and 2023-24, 29,781 million. Excuse for the error there on top. In terms of the audit outcomes, SAID has constantly obtained unqualified with no findings audit, which is a clean audit. And that is commendable.
Next slide. This is the board members. There are 10 board members who were appointed by the minister. And this is a fairly newly appointed board, which was appointed in 2022, and it expires in 2027. So this board is fully constituted as is. I think there you would also see that it is a mix. There's male and female, and also there were attempts in terms of also dealing with the racial representation in the board. Thank you. Next slide. Next slide. Manage composition of oversight activities. These are the oversight activities whereby the number of board meetings were held and number of committee meetings held, and also the attendance rate there in terms of these meetings being attended by board members. Thank you. Next slide. Governance engagement, similar to the ones before, CEO forum, which was attended 30th of November and 30th of March 2023, and the Chairperson's Forum, which was in 2022, and the one pending during the month of May this year, which is still being planned. Thank you. In terms of the management, the composition of executive management, led by the CEO, Mr. Galant, there. Those are the members of the senior executive management of Boxing SA, who are all working on a permanent capacity there. Next slide. The composition of staff, staff complement as indicated, 17. 9 female and 8 male, and in terms of racial representation, as you can see, six black, 9 colored, Indian 1, white 1. The issues to note, which also Boxing SA, SAIDS will also talk about, is the issue of the amendment of the South African Institute for Drugs Free Sport Act, which is not in alignment with the WADA code. There are consultations that have been kickstarted by SAIDS towards the amendment amendment and review of the legislation under which they work. So that work is underway, and I think an update will also be provided by SAIDS in terms of how far they've gone with the consultations, Chair. Thanks very much. That's a brief overview on SAIDS.
Thank you so much, DJ. That's all. Okay. Can now give it to either Dr. or Mr. Khalidi, who must take us through and telling us he has managed to get other board members. How many you are in now? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, Khalid, you can go on.
Thank you, Doc. I was just going to say that the doc is on the line. So please, you can start with the introduction.
Thank you.
Yes, Doc.
Thank you, Honorable Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture, Mr. Zizi Kodwa, who is probably no longer with us here now. Honorable Deputy Minister Notawe Mafu, Honorable Chair of the Portfolio Committee on Sport, Arts and Culture, Ms. Yuti Julane. Colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, we, the South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport, SAIDS, do appreciate and welcome the opportunity to be present here this morning, or rather, almost this afternoon. My name is Dr. Wumburani Ephraim Nematwerani, Chairperson of the SAIDS Board. I have a couple of apologies. Advocate Dave Michel, who is not a board member, but Chair of SAIDS Audit and Risk Committee, could not make it this morning, but has prepared a short statement, which our CEO will share on the screen. Board member Ms. Hajira Mashego is also unable to be with us. Her connectivity has been hampered by load shedding. Colleague board members, Ms. Kitumete Mashangu and Ms. Nalin Maharaj are here with us today. We shall be making a presentation of SAIDI's annual performance plan for the 2023-24 financial year. This annual performance plan is the operational iteration of the SAIDI strategic plan. The current SAIDI board was appointed into office only on the 1st of December 2022, so we have only been in office for the past 4 months or so. The current strategic plan is still relevant, and the current board will ensure that the continued strategic direction is maintained and followed. The board will, however, revisit the strategic plan sometime in mid-2023 and will then evaluate it against the current demands in sports, due to a very congested 2023 calendar year with Women's FIFA World Cup, Netball World Cup, Rugby World Cup, World Aquatics Championships, Summer World University Games, World Athletics Championships, African Cup of Nations later in the year or beginning of next year, and possibly the ICC Cricket ODI World Cup, which we are hoping South Africa will qualify for, amongst others. We shall also evaluate this strategic plan against the global trends for national anti-doping organizations, NADOs, such as our own SAIDI. So this presentation today will be in two parts. The first part will be presented by Mr. Khalid Gallant, our SAIDI CEO, who was this year elected into a 10-member World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA's NADO Expert Advisory Group. Congratulations to you, Khalid. The second and last part of the presentation will be done by SAIDI Chief Financial Officer Onge Ngwane, a chartered accountant by profession. Please welcome our CEO, Mr. Khalid Gallant. Mr. Gallant, you may start with the presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the kind remarks, and also the thanks to Sibusiso for the kind overview of the SAIDI areas that we will be looking at in the APP. As mentioned, Advocate Dave Mitchell has extended his apology. I have emailed the statement to Zuleka to distribute to the portfolio committee for the members to see. However, I will touch on a few points in his statement, which is just basically to emphasize that the annual performance plan is developed in the context of the different risk areas. So we're always looking to adjust our annual performance plan in line with our strategic plan, but also the different iterations is for areas of improvement. And again, performance is always measured against the budget, and it's what the Audit and Risk Committee's primary task is also about. The performance delivery environment for 2023-24 that the APP is presented in, as mentioned by the Chair, increased in competition, both national and international in the 2023 year, and some key milestones, international sport competitions, that multi-sport competitions that Team South Africa will be looking to qualify, and where SAIDI will have to play a very a distinct role in ensuring that we field a clean Team South Africa, are the 2024 African Games and the 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games in Paris. As indicated by Sibusiso, we listed the grants that we received from DSAC or Treasury over the last 3 years. You will see a very small increase or below inflationary increase, and that does put pressure on our service delivery since it's below inflation. So we have to look at trimming of our programs and also look at other sources of funding. With the COVID and lockdown, we've been able to leverage operational efficiencies through online learning, and we will continue to leverage technology to not only save money, but to achieve those operational efficiencies. So those innovations from the lockdown has now been integrated into our annual performance plan. We will be submitting a lottery application, which opens in the first week of May, which will be looking at addressing a large part of our education program that we can roll out nationally. And as mentioned in the BSA presentation, we partner with the different federations in rolling out program. And to give you an example, with BSA, we generally tag along on the roadshows to the different provinces in terms of doing an education and outreach program. SAIDS, as a regulatory agency, operates in a high compliance environment, both nationally and internationally. We spend a considerable percentage of our budget on ensuring that compliance. As a regulatory agency, good compliance helps with our credibility and confidence that the sports environment, athletes, sports federations, and the general public has in our work. We've received consistent clean audit over the past years. We've been deemed operationally compliant with the World Anti-Doping Code in all three of the iterations from 2003, 2016, 2013, and 2021 World Anti-Doping Code. SAGE is also the implementing agency for South African government as a signatory to the UNESCO Convention Against Doping in Sport. And we have to implement programs to ensure that South Africa remains a compliant signatory to that convention. Again, the ISO 9001 is more of an operational quality assurance certification, and that ensures that everything we do on an operational level has a certified international quality standard, and that if any of our operational processes come into question, we have a framework that it can be referred to. As you may guess, in many of the doping cases, our operational processes do come into question. However, no athlete has been successful in challenging or disputing our operational processes and have to have the case overturned. The emerging risk, I've mentioned the below inflation increase in DSAC, in the DSAC grant, and we acknowledge that that is a trend across government, so there's not much we can do, although we have quite good interactions and relations with DSAC. We are aware through meetings that organize, facilitated by DSAC and by Treasury, that government grants across the board are constrained and are tight. And that's why SAIDS are looking at other sources of funding. The biggest challenge or emerging risk that we faced over the next, will be facing over the next year is the obsolete drug-free sport legislation from 1997, which was amended in 2005. And that amendment in 2005 was merely of a technical nature, amending definitions to come in line with the changing sports environment in South Africa. Then we had moved from a sports commission to a confederation like SASCOC, and doing away with terms like NOXA and those type of terms. SAIDS has received the first warning letter from WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Agency, in November 2022 pertaining to this obsolete legislation. And again, the legislation from 1997 predates WADA. So SAGE was established before WADA. It was established before the World Anti-Doping Code. So you can imagine that lots of the terms are outdated and doesn't reflect the definition around testing authority and the adjudication of cases of the that provided for in the World Anti-Doping Code. So we are required to amend that and change that legislation or risk facing a non-compliance. Now, if anyone read global sports news or up to date with the global sports news over the last week, you will notice that aside from Russia, that has been declared non-compliant for the last couple of years, one of our continental neighbors, or I say neighbors in inverted commas, Gabon from West Africa, has been declared non-compliant because of legislation that doesn't fit with the World Anti-Doping Code. And so the consequences of an agency like SAGE being non-compliant has far-reaching implications for sport in the country, and that what that means is South Africa's international participation is threatened in events, as mentioned earlier, national and international events, where we are not able to compete under the flag, or and we will have to be able, we will then only be allowed to compete under a neutral flag. However, we have until May 2024 to correct that non-compliance, and I want to draw to the attention of the committee what work that we have been doing and are currently engaged to address this risk that faces both SAGE and sport in South Africa. We started the first consultation, and in November last year, we invited all stakeholders in sport, national sports federations, TASCOC, DSAC, and thanks to the chair of the portfolio committee, who also attended the meeting and also addressed the delegates at the meeting in November, where we introduced what a new draft legislation governing anti-doping and other aspects of protecting clean sport and sports integrity in South Africa could look like. We distributed the first draft in March this year. It's on our website. It's been emailed directly to national federations, SASCOC, government, WADA, sports legal academics for comment. The first round of comment will end the 5th of May. Now, the committee may be asking the question, why have you not seen that? Again, we felt it was at this point premature to engage with the portfolio committee because we are only in the first round of consultation. So we don't want to bring you a half-baked product where you will be wasting your time in giving interventions to that. So we will wait for the second round and final consultation round to be concluded by the end of May or June, where we will specifically send a request to the portfolio committee for an engagement and with government. Again, SAGE is a non-governmental agency. It's a public entity established by Parliament. So we don't have the authority to push through legislation or to enact legislation. So the correct channels will be that we submit our draft legislation to the department, who will then take it through the channels of promulgation eventually to Parliament. And we hope to finalize the draft by the end of 2023 or mid-2024 within the deadlines established by WADA. Once the final draft is sent to government, the next phase would be the economic impact of the legislation, and we'll only be able to assess that after consultation, obviously bearing in mind that consultation may bring further changes that may either increase the financial impact or decrease the financial impact of the legislation. And then just to give a brief overview of what this draft legislation is, as I mentioned, the chair of the portfolio committee was part of the first consultation meeting in November, but for the rest of the portfolio committee, what the legislation will attempt to solve or innovate in South Africa's sport is compliance with the World Anti-Doping Code, as mentioned, where we are non-compliant and deficient, establishing an independent sport integrity body that is not only limited to anti-doping, and addressing the issues of safeguarding in sport, not from a policy perspective, but from an investigative and adjudication perspective, so that cases of safeguarding are investigated and independently adjudicated, as we do with doping cases. So key themes in the legislation, in the introductory part of the legislation, will be to maintain the integrity of sport, so similarly as outlined in the original drug-free sport legislation, provide a single regulatory framework and single point of contact for athletes, as SAGE is currently now, but only on anti-doping matters, and then to promote health, ethics, fair play, anti-doping, safeguarding, and the general well-being of sports person. And those are all key components of sports integrity. And just to give you an idea of the different components or ingredients of what a sports integrity legislation would look like, as you can see on the top, anti-doping is one aspect. And now there will be different components. And this is these components that form part of sports and integrity is part of the global sports innovations. So the current integrity legislation will be putting South Africa on the track to keep abreast of current trends and changes in policy development globally as these sport policies evolve, so that we are not one of the laggards in sports policy development. So that is the key risk, emerging risk that we will be addressing in the APP for the 2023-2024 year. The programs that make up SAGE, that we all work together and not in silos, we all work together in terms of cogs that fit together, are the different programs: finance, doping control, results management, education, and national and international collaboration. And none of these programs can really operate alone and do something without the other. So they are, so our annual operational plan is divided into those sections and reflect the different key performance areas in the different programs. With that, covering the APP, the other part of the APP, the financial management, I'd like to hand over to our Chief Financial Officer, Onke Ngwane, just to give you a broad overview of the expenditure, key expenditure areas and budgetary areas. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Person, do you still have any other input on your entire presentation?
Chair, I think I'm waiting for Onke. I'm not sure if load shedding kicked him off. I'm just trying to see his...
I'm here.
There is Onke.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll put my video on just so people can see me when I introduce myself, and then I'll switch it off again.
Okay, Onke. Good seeing you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Firstly, thank you, Chair, the Minister, the Acting DG, and the members of the committee, as well as my colleagues, for the opportunity to speak about SAGE in terms of the financial management of our APP. SAGE is primarily funded by a grant that is disbursed to us by DSEC. The grant for the upcoming year is about 29.8 million. From this grant, our key budgetary areas are as follows. Under our admin, compliance and finance is our salaries, which are centralized for our 18 permanent staff members, and they're not broken down into the different departments. It all falls under admin. Also, there are compliance costs, which include internal and external audits and quality assurance. And these costs continue to rise year on year, and the rise in the cost does not necessarily match the increase in our grant, which goes back to the point where Khalid expressed that we do feel some pressures in our costs because our grant doesn't match the changes in our costs. Included under admin is our office rental as well, which is approximately 1.6 million a year, which is quite expensive. Under the doping control banner, we have our lab analysis costs, our courier costs, and our remuneration of our part-time staff that is contracted to us to perform the function of sample collection for us. These costs, again, they do continue to increase year on year. And another challenge that we have under doping control is the cost of our test kits, which is the test kits we use to collect samples from athletes and send them to the lab. Unfortunately, South Africa does not have a manufacturer for the test kits, so the test kits are imported, and this exposes athletes to foreign exchange rate fluctuations, expensive shipping costs, and outrageous custom clearing costs. An example, we had a delivery of kits now 2 months ago, just for to have the kits cleared by customs at the airport, it cost SAID about 800,000 rand just to the kids. Under resource management, the costs under resource management are driven by the number of doping cases heard by our panel, which in turn are driven by the number of anti-doping rule violations we have. It's not something we can necessarily control. It would depend on whether an athlete tests positive and if the positive result is communicated to them, whether they want to fight it or not. So it's driven by that. SAID has also created a legal defense fund using a surplus that we generated in the past. This fund is to defray any legal costs that are unexpected or out of the control of SAID. An example would be litigation costs if you are sued or if a case is taken to CAS in Switzerland, which we have no choice but to be a defendant in. And those costs are in foreign currency and they do get expensive, which is the whole point of the legal defense fund. Education initiatives, they leverage the use of technology this way. We optimize and improve delivery, but we minimize on costs. Our educators and our sample collection personnel and tribunal members are trained every year to optimize their service delivery to us within their respective roles. We minimize spending on international travel. International travel is only undertaken to liaise with WADA and other anti-doping agencies when it's necessary. In terms of projected income from sales, sports has resumed in full swing post the COVID pandemic. There is also increased demand for our testing services by federations now that sports has resumed. And it is also the year that is leading up to the 2024 Olympics and Paralympics. So we are projecting sales at approximately 2 million. It might be a bit conservative, but we don't want to count our eggs before. Count our chickens before the eggs hatch. And that, Chair, concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. That will be all from our side. So I think we can open the floor for questions if there are any.
Obviously, there are questions. Thank you so much. Honorable members, this is the presentation from SAID. And now, may I take the hands? Now I'm
not disabled. I'm able. I had to walk where I was because now the load shedding, it's off. It's on now, my network. I've seen everything now. Honorable Malomana, Honorable Zondi, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation from SAIDS. Let me also go straight to my question. Is that given the upcoming 2024 Olympic Games and the pressure of athletes to qualify, there may be an increase in doping attempt by athletes? Does the 2023-2024 SAIDS APP take this into consideration? If so, will there be increased efforts to the athletes in and out of the competition prior to and during the Olympics qualification period? The other one is that, has there been adherence to doping education? What impact has doping education had on the athletes over the past 5 years? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malomani. Honorable Zondi.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, we welcome the report. It is not far different from the report we get last year. We acknowledge the progress made, Chair, in terms of the challenges they raised in the previous presentation from us. And also, to thank the department on the support they are giving the community. It seems as if they don't have so many challenges. And we hope that it stays like that. And we thank the department again, and we wish them to continue supporting them so that we don't have so many entities that are engulfed with many challenges. One question, Chair, that I have to the entity: how many doping appeals were there by athletes who were found guilty of taking banned substances in 2022-23 financial year? Did SAIDS have the financial means to take on these cases? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zondi. Honorable Dennis.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would also like to welcome the presentation. And just would like to ask a few questions, Chairperson, but first a few comments. According to the department's presentation, would like to acknowledge the unqualified audits, a number of years, the oversight activities of the boards and the attendance attached to that board meetings, the composition of the executive management, diversity thereof, and the composition of the staff. I think that's all, for me, good points that stands out the Chairperson, that achievements. But the department have raised an issue, that issue about the international code or the amendment that needs to be made to the Act to align with the WADA codes. I think that we just want to ask the department to monitor that in terms of Parliament's term of office as Chairperson. I think we want to do as much work before the end of the year, get all the work done, and want to encourage SAIDS to submit that amendments to Parliament as soon as they can. And want to ask this department to make sure that they eyes is on the ball there, that it don't drop off before the Parliament term close. Chairperson, to the SAIDS itself, I want to just also add my voice to congratulate Khalid for his achievement or appointment on the world stage. And then I want to ask, previous member asked the question on these big events. So my question is, big events like the Two Oceans that has just finished, the Comrades Marathon, the other big events as mentioned by sage themselves and by my colleague. How does sage manage such big events with thousands of athletes, and how do they engage with the management and the organizers for that events? Is it planned, pre-planned, and so on? And how is the cooperation or non-cooperation of the sporting institutions? So it's just a general question on and how they're dealing with that mass participation, if I can put it that way. And then also, just a general question, what is the codes that are repeated offenders, if there are any, that is keeping you busy? Chairperson, I just want to ask a question. What is the specific roles? I noted that CHESS will play a specific role in the Africa Games and the Olympic Paralympic Games in Paris, but I want to know, is there anything specific that they have to go and do, or are they just forming part of the world bodies that have to participate? Or is there a specialized function that they can actually point to us? On the trimming of the programs, I've noted somewhere it's a downscaling. Want to know which programs will be affected, if there's any downscaling, and what impact the lottery applications, impact of successful or not successful, with the application, what impact that will have on your programs. And then, of course, there was a note on the high compliance environment and the standards. But I think I want to rather move to the emerging risk that was pointed out. So my question would be, would the audit committee operate in sets also be involved in such a department that monitor what's happening in the entity about these about the compliance that was given, the date was given May 2024, that they have to be complied with? And then the last, chairperson, I wanted to ask to the CFO about sales. What kind of sales are we talking about? If we talk about income, what is it, the kind of products or services that generate income? Just a general question to know. Good to hear that there's an entity that talks about own revenue or income, which is different to many entities at least that are struggling. So that's good news, but I just would like to know more of that information, that products that they are dealing with, or for own revenue or in form of income. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Honorable Dennis. Honorable Martin Bosse.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would also love to welcome the presentation. I don't have much questions, but just I want to find out from Said, what is your take on Caster Semenya's plight that is working against her humanity? Another one, Chairperson, is what about the traditional concussions that are used in sports, which are most oftentimes, if not all time, unnatural herbs, like India? How do you manage that situation? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mashingos. I don't see any other hands. Maybe let me just ask a few questions. Thank you for the presentation, Seth. We are welcoming it, and we appreciate the good work that you are doing. Also, the good work that you are doing, and with the stalwarts in here, Mr. Khalidi, who has been in Seth, that shows himself that he's presenting South Africa well. Congratulations on your recently appointed international I also saw the newspaper that this amendment of yours, it's out there saying you are amongst those who are not yet amended. We are saying, appealing to the department working with you, that would love when we left maybe with 8 months to go to the elections, that at least we must leave the leaguers that we are leaving you with all your needs that you require, and as our good selves to do an oversight on that. but also I wanted to check that, also I want to, my question, like Honorable Madlingos, but I want to pose the question to the department. The department, you have been with human rights on assisting on Castas Menya's issue, the issue that we have been discussed since the inception of this problem. You have been the pillar on that, and now the final decision of the court is taking Ukasta out, as we complaining that how can that they want Ukasta to take drugs, and which is something that we have been sitting with it. Just that question I'm posing to the department. And then one other question that I want to check is that currently what is the status of drug cheating in South African sport? Is it on an increase or decline? And also I wanted to check with you said, are the South African law enforcement, which are Hawks and or the other one, NPA, involved in the fight against syndicates involving supplying athletes with banned substances? Have there been any successful prosecutions over the last 5 years? Correctly, so some of you, especially Mr. Khalid, you have been here and you have an experience of some athletes, and that they have been on drugs, and the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture assisted on taking some of them for rehab. But really, as related to my question, we never ever heard that out of that this institution have ever followed, because in some of instances we're aware where these athletes get these substances. But next time, maybe if even now, if you do have stats of indicating whether the other other department, which is a sister department, that they can assist in trying to follow these drugs, which are killing the future of our kids. Thank you so much. I don't have any further questions. I thank you. Can I give the chance now to our, firstly to our department?
Thank you, Chairperson. We have noted the questions that are specifically addressed to the department, but also allow me to acknowledge and commend the work that has been done by this entity, as members have also noted. The comment from Honourable Member Joseph in terms of emphasising the need for us to ensure that we monitor issues of the amendment of the South African Institute for Drugs Transport. We take note of it. We have indicated in our report that consultation processes are currently undertaken, but we note the emphasis, and we would ensure that we do as indicated. On the Casper Semenya issue, I would rely more on DDG Khan to talk to that. I am aware that very recently there was a report and a statement that was compiled on that same matter, but DDG Khan is more competent to talk on that matter. DDG? Bro, you chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and DDG. Yes, just to indicate on the legislation, Chairperson, we have a task team that we formed in the department, our legal services, our Winning Nation team, and also we have officials who have studied ethics and integrity in sport. So we've put a small task team together in the department who will then make their inputs to SAIDS. They've given us a timeline of the 1st of May. With regard to the Caster Semenya case, yes, indeed, Chairperson, there was a lot of information that, a lot of work that the department had done, you know, to engage with the Human Rights Commission, to engage with the Gender Equity Commission. We also mobilized, you know, the media, and also I think for us, a chairperson was, you know, presentation to Parliament, and where every single party unanimously supported, you know, the fight against this matter. You will know, Chairperson, that Caster lost her cases, and she was now she was filing the cases in the European Court of Human Rights for an appeal on the argument of the violation of human rights of the DSD athletes. And in due to these regulations, she could not defend her 800-meter title at the Tokyo Olympics, nor could she participate in any other competitions for the same category. But in March 2023, there was a decision of the World Athletics Council to reduce the testosterone limit from 5 nanomoles per liter of blood to 2 nanomoles. In order to be eligible to participate, you know, in the female track events. This then expands, you know, the restriction from the 400 meters to include all other track events, meaning that Caster or any other athletes with DST, like her colleagues in Namibia, who was a silver medalist in the 200 meters, and also her teammate, there was a Christine Mboma and Beatrice Masilingi, and many others in the continent who've had their careers as athletes ended. So in the light of the call made by the World Medical Association, it means, you know, there has been a call on all the doctors and medical scientists across the globe to take no part in the implementation of the regulations, meaning that they should not be part of prescribing any medication for these athletes to lower their testosterone levels. And we hope from the report we got from Athletics South Africa is they are still waiting for this European Court for Human Rights to sit and to actually rule on this matter. So that is taking some time. But now with these new regulations, they're actually pushing for that court case to take place. From outside, Chairperson, we have provided financial support, you know, to both Custer's lawyers and also the lawyers that have been engaged by Athletics South Africa. And we are continuing to engage them to identify any possible further support that could be provided by government on the matter. And we're also now taking this matter up with the African Union Sports Council Region 5, as well as the African Union Sports Council for discussion and resolution. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you so much. Acting Teacher.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will now hand over to States on the questions and comments that came from Honorable Madumane, Zondi, and Dennis. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable.
Oh, and Madlingozi. So, thank you.
Let me take this opportunity to thank our department and also giving the platform to our visitors, the city, please talk the leader, must direct your questions to your colleagues. A young doctor.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Onke, you want to respond to the question posed by firstly, Honorable Dennis Joseph, regarding the sales. What kind of sales is the question from Honorable Dennis Joseph? Okay.
Thank you, Doc. Our sales is when we provide our services to other federations, both local and international. So we don't sell anything, but we provide the service that we provide. Other federation ask us to do it on their behalf, and they pay us for our services. That's what quantifies as our doping control sales. Thank you, Chair.
The next question was, there will be Olympics coming up next year in 2024. There will be All Africa Games also coming up in 2024. That's for you, Onke. There could be increased number of doping cases. Is SAE taking all these big games into consideration when it comes to the APP annual performance plan? Okay.
Thank you again, Chief. We do take that into account when we do the budget for our results management. We do test at these events, and should an acid test positive, then the results management part takes place. Included in that is paying for the tribunal members that are going to sit on a hearing to deal with the doping rule violation. So when we do the budget, we do take into account that these events, yeah.
Khalid, for you, the other question was from Honorable Malumane, asking what has been the impact of anti-doping education on doping in South Africa?
Thank you, Chair. For the purpose of expediency, I'm going to try to answer all the questions that I've written down, so we don't waste time, Chair. With Honorable Malamani, in terms of the increased risk, is there an increased risk with these major games coming up? Yes, there is what we refer to as a doping risk in sport because the stakes are higher. We do annually a doping risk analysis on every sports code, taking into consideration the global and national sports calendar. We then select athletes in a special testing pool called the registered testing pool. And these athletes generally are those that potentially will qualify for world championships, Olympic, African Games, or World Cups. And they receive extra special attention with respect to testing. And generally, they will be tested for both blood and urine samples during this period. The question from Honorable Malomari also on the impact on anti-doping education. Over the years, we've seen the benefits of that anti-doping education in terms of the increasing literacy on anti-doping matters. And again, I have to acknowledge the sports infrastructure in South Africa that during the from the lockdown period during COVID 2021, really embraced online learning, and South Africa is one of the in the top 10 global e-learning countries in the global sports environment. We are number 7 in terms of the number of athletes, coaches, teachers, sports medicine personnel that log on and get certificates of knowledge from the anti-doping e-learning platform from WADA. So we have seen the impact of the of anti-doping education and the greater awareness of our athletes and coaching personnel. Excuse me. With respect to the question of Honorable Zondi, with appeal cases, yes, we have appealed fairly regularly, which is the right of athletes. So far, no athlete has been successful in the past year in having the case overturned. So the appeals have been in favor of SAID. There's been 3 appeals with 1 appeal case running for the last 3 years with the Lesotho athlete that was caught for doping in South Africa. And there was issues of jurisdiction, so that appeal case has adjourned and is still ongoing. Honorable Joseph had a question about the support or knowledge and engagement with event organizers. Again, in acknowledgement to the National Sports Federation, especially federations like athletics, triathlon, and cycling, where many of the events are done by event organizers or private companies which are event organizers. We receive excellent cooperation from all of them to such an extent that Cycling South Africa has requested that we have a special anti-doping education session specifically for the event organizers so that they can better understand what is required from an event organizer when testing happens at the event and the consequences if they don't provide adequate or up to standard testing facilities. Our role, what the SAID's role, is there a specific role with respect to events like the African Games? The primary role that we will have is to ensure that the team that SASCOC fields, Team South Africa, that they've been tested at each athlete that will get on the plane to go to Ghana to the 2024 Games will have undergone an education session and tested at least at a minimum of once. We try to test athletes at least 3 times before they go to events such as the African Games that South Africa is not spared, is not embarrassed, so that, that South Africa is spared the embarrassment of a South African athlete testing positive at events like the African Games. Specifically, we do training for other African countries to prepare them for the African Games. In 2 weeks' time, we will be assisting Zambia in testing at the continental track and field event. We've assisted Egypt, Kenya, Ethiopia. We're currently also looking at Ghana. We have an education session on governance and Doping Control Administration with Namibia in June. So with respect to the African Games, we assist our counterparts on the continent in getting the procedures and systems in place that their respective national teams are adequately tested and knowledgeable about the testing procedures before they get to the African Games. The question of the impact of the lottery grant, if we are successful, would be tremendous. We're looking at a grant request between 10 and 12 million over a 3-year period. and it will predominantly fund education programs and looking at innovative education programs where we not only focus on the kind of PowerPoint type of format, but other innovations in both urban and rural settings where our messages can better resonate with the different target audiences. With respect to the audit committee and monitoring of risk, that is part of the audit committee charter and the brief that they...
Honorable Dennis. Honorable Dennis. Oh God. So can the host mute? Honorable Dennis. I'm sorry, Mr. Khalid. He was not aware that the mic is on. Thank you.
No problem. Actually, I was on one of these questions on the Honorable Joseph's comments on the Audit and Risk Committee. It is part of the charter. So they do manage or monitor risks, and we report on risk at every Audit and Risk Committee meeting. And we have a minimum of one Audit and Risk Committee meeting per quarter. The next question from the Honourable Member Madlozi on Caster Semenya. We've always supported Caster Semenya. We've provided technical support and information to a legal team, and we remain available to support both Caster or legal team with any information or technical expertise they require from us. But saying that, the issue of Caster Semenya is not actually a doping matter. World Athletics has turned it into a selection matter. So we actually have no policy jurisdiction on the Caster Semenya matter to advise both Athletics South Africa or Caster. We can, again, only comment or provide guidance if it is around anti-doping matters. The question of traditional medicines, I think whenever we do present to Parliament, the question gets asked, since it is certainly an interesting question, and athletes, particularly football players and boxers, which we found that use traditional medicines, are at risk. And as part of our education programs to athletes, specifically with football and boxing, we do address the risks that they face with traditional medicines, which are similar to the risks that athletes face when they use supplements from an unregulated market. So the risks are low, but it is a risk that we make athletes aware of. We have not had cases in the last 3 years where athletes claim that they tested positive for traditional medicine. A few years ago, when the threshold limit for marijuana was much lower, we did have quite a few doping positives, and it was attributed by the athletes to traditional medicine. Pertaining to the questions from the chairperson, whether the status of cheating in South Africa is on the decrease, on the increase, or has it plateaued? Unfortunately, I cannot say that it's on the decrease. It has an increase, so it is on the plateau, but it's still fairly high compared to our international trend. And the biggest transgressors in terms of doping in South Africa are bodybuilding, rugby, specifically junior schoolboy rugby under 21, and then track and or athletics, but in the distance, not in the track and field. Your questions on our cooperation with law enforcement, specifically with the Hawks, and the reason the chair probably posed the question with respect to her comments on other athletes that we've caught, especially for illicit drugs, that part of the mandate of SAID is not only to punish or to go after the end user, which is the athlete, but also to address the supply and manufacture of illicit drugs. We have an excellent working relationship with the Hawks, and we partner with them on various raids, specifically around steroids. We've done three successful raids already this calendar year, and successfully charged those people engaged in the steroid trafficking and manufacturing. As you may guess, any criminal activity doesn't really stop. It just keeps moving. So it's a constant investigations and intelligence gathering process that happens to address supply and trafficking of steroids. We also have a current cyber crime project registered with the Hawks, where we are looking at the sale of steroids through the internet, specifically to underage athletes. I do want to mention, with respect to law enforcement, we don't only partner with the people like the Hawks. We've had successful partnerships with the South African Professional Health Council, where we had two doctors in 2021 slapped with fines for negligent advice and treatment of athletes who tested positive. Both those doctors were slapped with a 50,000 rand fine and also sanction. Chair, I hope I addressed all the questions, and apologies if I missed anything, but again, if you let me know, and then I will address that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baliti. I don't see any follow-up hand, and I'm happy about the responses. Now, let me take this opportunity to thank the department and the staff, to thank our officials also of the committee. And then let me thank this delegation, which is SAIDS, led by the young doctor and the some of us who have been in this committee, Mr. Khalidi and Onke. I can't talk much more about the other new members. They've been with us as this committee when then it was not doing well, but two young doctor chairperson, this young man with the other outgone board members, he made it that now even the department must be happy about all your finances. I'm saying that in the question of Caster Semenya, I'm suspecting Honorable Maglingos when he was asking correctly, so the department, I was aware that they are hands-on, they've been reporting, giving us the information. I must say that in doing this, we are blessed whether he is not going to detate. Our former DG, Umkhize, he is now a CEO in human rights. He's going there with a more experience, especially in relation with this department and even the Caster Semenya's case. So I'm saying that with those words, it was good to be with you and sharing the information. You know, being members of parliament, we gain each and every time when inviting the federation, or any other entities coming to us. You leave us with more information. You are graduating now and then. Please keep up the good work which you are doing. We are happy with those words. Can I say that I'm releasing everyone. The meeting is adjourned.